The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports columnists.
Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today we will be joined by my longtime friend, columnist, co-host of the long-running hit show, Pardon the Interruption, part of ESPN's NBA coverage. That is my friend, Michael Wilbon. Before we get started with Mike, I want to tell you about Gillette. Every morning I use my Gillette razor, and I know what I'm getting, a great shave. It's been a consistent part of my daily routine. My dad used Gillette, so there was never anything else. My Gillette Fusion Pro Shield and Fusion Gel give me the close, comfortable shave I'm looking for. And you can now get Gillette quality blades at the best value and convenience with Gillette On Demand. Your razors will get delivered straight to your door with free shipping. Check it out and subscribe to Gillette On Demand today. You'll get $5 off your first order with a special offer code LUPICA5 at checkout. Visit GilletteOnDemand.com today and be sure to use the code LUPICA5, the number 5, that's LUPICA and the number 5 at checkout. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast, and we are joined today by my buddy Michael Wilbon, who is one of the most talented people I know. I still miss reading his column in the Washington Post. You know, of course, that he and Tony Kornheiser have co-hosted the immensely popular Pardon the Interruption for years and years and years. Mike is an integral part of ESPN's NBA coverage. He still does some writing occasionally. And best of all, he's now the father of one of my readers, Matthew Wilbon. Good day, Mr. Wilbon.
Good day. This is a question I have to tell you that I actually got after Matthew was reading one of your books. And he just turns to me one day and he says, Dad, you actually know the author? You know Mike Lupica? I think I actually do.
I love that boy even before I knew him. When we finish today, we'll send off a whole bunch of autographed books. All right, Michael, we have to start with your Bears. Because for the first time in a long time, and this is coming from somebody who wondered last year occasionally if Mr. Trubisky were actually right-handed, there's some blue sky for your team, Michael.
Yeah, Mike, there is, and this is a much preferred place to the, you know, automatic 5-11, 4-12 we've been in, living there since they fired Lovey and didn't get it right with two coaches. But I just sound this caution note. Right now, they look like every really good Bears team of my life. Not like the great ones in 85 and 06. It doesn't look like that because it's another team that could have been anchored by, you know, Dick Butkus or the early Mike Singletary teams or the Brian Urlacher teams, in that the defense looks great and the offense is, really? Like, you know, do we have to run everything off play action because the running backs are the best players on the offense? And the answer to look right now is yeah. So I want to see some glimpses. It's only his second year. I realize he's only made 11 college starts and now I think 14 pro NFL starts. But I got to see some glimpses of greatness from Trubisky, and I haven't seen that yet, like we see immediately from Mahomes in the same draft, or like we've seen from Deshaun Watson, you know, before the injury. I got to see that. I haven't seen that yet, and I'm just thinking, is this going to be another great defense undermined by an inadequate offense?
We're talking to Mike Wilbon on the Gillette Hotline, but Michael, here's what's interesting, because, you know, we heard a lot in New York, and I love Saquon Barkley, and he may turn out to be what he was described as being, which is a transformational player. But the transformational player acquired by any NFL team in the last 6 months, and I'm going back to the draft, is Khalil Mack. And Michael, whatever reason they gave you for dealing this guy away from the Raiders, it's insane, because if somebody had told you a month ago, Mike, that they would have 5 sacks against, oh, by the way, Russell Wilson in one half, you would have had that person drug tested.
That's right. And if somebody told me that defense would lead the league after two games after playing Rodgers and Russell Wilson and would lead the NFL in sacks, getting those two guys down to the ground at an age and time where people are even, you know, they pull their punches with the quarterback all the time now, necessarily because of these penalties, I would have been stunned. And so, yes, Khalil Mack, he fits. He fits. You know, Mike, when that acquisition was made, that was so much more important to people who grew up with the Bears, who grew up in and around Chicago, because we don't know anything about quarterbacks. Like we've had one quarterback in my lifetime that I identified with, and that's Jim McMahon.
Right.
Jim McMahon is 60, or about to be. He and I are about the same age. But he's been gone from the Bears for 30 years, and yet we don't know anything about quarterback. But we know about guys with a number on their chest that starts with a 5. We know about that. And so Mac really rallied that fan base, the acquisition of Mac, just having him. That we understand. That and running backs. Quarterback, did they get it right? I don't know. The jury hasn't even gone in to deliberate yet.
Michael, you watch Mac play football, and I'm telling you, and this is in no way blasphemy from a guy who grew up in Central New York as a Giants fan, okay? It's like watching the young Lawrence Taylor play football.
Yeah, it is. It is. He's just he's so disruptive. I mean, I love the plays that they had, not to get too inside football, but where he was a sort of a decoy, and now the other guys are so emboldened, Mike, and you can see this. They run Mac up the middle just to occupy two or three people, and there are guys on the outside just laughing, like, okay, keep coming. And Mac made that play too, even though there's no tackle registered, no, you know, loss of yardage for him personally. And it's so disruptive in that way. And I get scared that this is going to be like, you know, Urlacher got to the Super Bowl once. They had some great defenses that Lovie Smith put on that field, and color undermined it all. And you know, it was a great stat, Mike, that the other night from that game. So Russell Wilson threw just his third pick six of his career, second regular season, but third overall.
Right.
How many pick sixes do you think Jay Cutler had?
Okay, I'm going to guess, and I'm going to just take a stab in the dark and say a dozen.
Okay, that was my first response when I was asked this. I asked actually one of our researchers to look it up. And I said, okay, I'm going to think a dozen. I'm going to go with an over-under of 10. And she said, you underbid. How about 19?
Oh, my God.
19.
On his way to being a reality star. My boys tell me he's great as a reality star, not so great as a quarterback.
But I thought he would have been great if he had stuck with the job of being an analyst on a broadcast. I thought he would have been great at that. I mean, but, you know, so I'm operating from a place where I followed one team. I mean, I remember the 63 championship. I just turned 5. I have faint memories of celebrations in Halifax.
I remember it a different way, Michael. Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Why Tittle?
And Wellington Mara says it was the most painful loss of his entire life in the New York Giants.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Well, so I've been following this, what is that, 55 years? Well, I don't have a Phil Simms in my lifetime of following this
or
team.
Eli. You don't even
or
have
Eli. I have an Eli. I don't have a Y.E. Tittle. I mean, McMahon had that golden year, and he was hurt so often. You know, the rules today, I got to call Jim McMahon. The rules today might have made him a Hall of Fame player. Right. Because at one point, in games he was healthy and started, the Bears were 38-0. But they couldn't keep him out there. People would dump him. Talk about land with your full body weight. I mean, if you see McMahon now, you would say, oh, my God, was that guy a quarterback or was he, you know, in the third race at Pimlico?
He was a quarterback. Guess what? Guy. He was still the best quarterback on the best team I ever saw for 1 year.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And so, I see him occasionally now, and I just say, you got any eligibility left? Because, we're all still in love with Jim McMahon, and we can't let it go.
Michael, here's the beauty of a 16-game regular season, okay? Imagine the conversation we would have had about your Bears after week one of the pro football season.
Oh, wow, yeah.
After they didn't just lose to the Packers, but got thrown down a flight of stairs in the second half.
Yeah, I sort of think that might have been a blessing long term. If they win that game, we're so carried away now. You know, in college football, anybody that's, you know, 1-1, you got to fire the coach and retool it. And, you know, the notion of getting better doesn't seem to even flash in anybody's head anymore.
Right.
And so if the Bears had won, as much as I wanted them to win that game, as much as I just sat in a stupor in front of my television after they lost it, I immediately thought, you know what, there's probably some good to this. They don't need to have this win clogging their brains for the next few weeks right. in the culture we live in now. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm grasping, obviously, after that loss, but I'm hoping that's the theme that they are really, they understood the nature of that loss, and they had to get a hell of a lot better instantly.
Talking to Mike Wilbon on the Gillette Hotline, and this is going to be another one of Mr. Wilbon's appearances on this podcast where I will finish and I will say to Tyler Brewer, my producer, why don't we do this every 6 weeks? Okay, we were in the same lane on Twitter on Sunday in real time about a ridiculous call against Clay Matthews, Michael, that not only was it a horrible call, but the ref doubled, Corrente doubled down afterwards, and the league is now triple down and said, this is such bullshit, they're going to use it as a training tool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, the arrogance of the NFL knows no bounds. And right now, it's like saying, you know, it's like somebody else that we hear every day saying, there's no global warming. There's no global warming because I said there's none.
Right.
And the league basically says, who are you going to believe, you know, me or your lying eyes?
Yeah, that's to Mark, you know, Mike, I used to think that was a country western line. It is actually a Marx Brothers line. Chico Marx said
it's
it.
Marx Brothers line, okay.
Yeah, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And, Michael, they can tell you 100 times, okay? They can tell you 100 times that he lifted them and planted them, and it will still be a lie.
It's a total lie. And again, they double down and they say, well, we said it's a lie and therefore you're going to believe it and we're going to keep going our way. And, you know, they did this with, they've done this how many times? They did it with head injuries. They did it with head injuries for decades, but more than that, about a 5 to 7 year period until all these studies started being commissioned and they couldn't do it anymore. And they're going to do it. They're going to do it this way, too, until either they lose audience or people just get tired of this. And then, only then, when there are severe consequences. How about the Redskins telling people, we got a 50-year waiting list. Yeah, we have a 50-year or 20, whatever the waiting list was. And they right. did sell out of games for decades. We have a 20-plus-year waiting list, and now they have a literally half-empty stadium. But yet they kept telling people, we got a 20-year waiting list, and people believed them. Because with the NFL and whatever we tell you, you're going to believe. And it's just like, I mean, how many lies can they tell in 1 week?
It's, Mike, it's funny. I was sitting watching. I had finally figured out on Sunday, we moved into a new house. And I finally, with Taylor's help, figured out how to hook up Apple TV. Okay, so I could reconnect with my Sunday ticket. So I'm getting ready to watch the Vikings and the Packers. I mean, I was mildly interested in how Sam Darnold would do. And Taylor walked in and she looked at me and she goes, oh, so the Hypocrite Festival begins on Sunday afternoon. And you know what, Mike? She's right. She said, everything you've written about concussions, everything I know you think about concussions, all of the happiness you had that fortunately we raised three boys who were pacifists who didn't want to play football. Okay. She said, but you still watch this sport. And you know what, Michael? I don't have a good answer for that.
I have maybe a slight answer. Maybe it's not a good answer, an answer. Mike, I'm the same as you. I sit down, you know, in my house, I had a man cave specifically, basically constructed for Sunday, all day Sunday. I can't even say Sunday afternoon anymore, all day Sunday. And I've got three televisions in there, three flat screens and right. one huge one. Right. And I sit there. And I think the answer simply is, this is the great ritual of our lifetimes. I mean, people in our age group, and this is different now, because I got a son who, like yours, a 10-year-old who plays everything. And I said to he said, Dad, are you going to ban me from football?
He did.
And I said, Matthew, I don't want to ban you. Do you want to play? We have to discuss it. And he said, well, I don't really like getting hit. And I said, that's it. We got a winner. That's the answer.
Call off the contest, Lonnie.
That's right. But for people of a different generation, it's the great ritual of our lifetimes. I cannot do anything on Sunday. I don't want to do anything on Sunday. And I've, you know, the concussion, and I just feel like the general lying. Locally, we have this story where the franchise and its owner have just driven away a fan base.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this has happened anywhere else in the modern history of pro football. You can say, well, the Raiders have lost a lot of fan base. Okay, but the Raiders moved multiple times, and they still love their owner, their Maverick owner, in this strange way. The owner has driven away, I don't know, tens if not hundreds of thousands of people to the point where they can't even fill a stadium in September.
It's a bad optic, Michael. It is you're right. It got underplayed, I think, across the rest of the country. It got some pickup on social media. But what that stadium looked like, and the franchise we're talking about, the one I call the Washington Washingtons, okay, that was pretty damn stunning.
I use the word astonishing when I was on Twitter because I was watching Sunday Ticket, and I saw it, I thought, well, maybe it's just after halftime, and people aren't in their seats yet. And then I had to turn one of the sets on the Redskins game so I could see what the crowd looked like. And this is a place where I actually, though I'm not from here, my wife grew up a Redskins fan, we had season tickets in the new stadium for 13 years, actually. And I said to her on Sunday, you're not even watching the Redskins. And she
right.
goes, no. People are done. They found the Capitals. They discovered the Nationals. You know, and this was the unthinkable position. And so they are, to me, the ultimate example of arrogance in this league. But the examples you point out, Michael, they are undeniable. And yet, I know where I'm going to be Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to be right back in that chair.
Yeah.
Archie Bunker sitting in a chair.
Yep. And I'll be texting away with my sons. Talking to Mike Wilbon on the Gillette Hotline. Michael, here's another thing that struck me over the first 2 weeks of the season. And, like, you have your team. I grew up a Giants fan. My youngest son's a Packers fan, and Aaron Rodgers has turned me into a Packers fanboy just because I love watching him play. Okay, I think he's as gifted a quarterback as I've ever seen. But, Michael, take the Bears out of it, okay? Take Brady out of it and Rodgers out of it. How many guys are there that are appointment figures for you every week?
Wow.
And what I'm saying is there's a lot of reasons why ratings are down and interest is down, and it's concussions, it's this and that, and the anthem thing might have played into it. But I was thinking the other Thursday night, the Ravens and the Bengals played a pretty entertaining game. But I just wasn't engaged. They just don't have the star quality in this sport. I know how popular it is. That it's not even close to having the star quality that they have in the NBA.
No, they don't. And you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this in the PTI newsroom yesterday, and I took it even a different
show
direction.
I never hosted, by the way. Never.
You got to find your way to Washington, goodness sake.
Never. Anyway, yeah. But I digress. Go ahead.
we had this discussion a little bit yesterday, different direction, same discussion. And part of my thing was, okay, who are the charismatic coaches? Charismatic. Like, if you go back, and I went back and I had somebody look up the coaches who were on the sideline in 1985, and maybe I just picked 85 because Ditko that year was the most charismatic coach.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, I mean, there were so many people who you thought were charismatic and on their way to the Hall of Fame, and maybe they were even charismatic in a counterpunching way, like Joe Gibbs, who was charismatic because you had so many crazy people and colorful people that Joe Gibbs in his Bjorn Borg-like silence could be charismatic. And you had Parcells, you had so many coaches. And now, okay, tell me, who's charismatic? The guy in L.A., the Rams coach, how many?
No, I'm telling you, Sean McVay is very important to this league because he does have that, you know, that Beverly Hills 90210 look to him. You know, he looks like he could be starring in one of those shows. But you're right. Belichick is compelling, but not for the reasons you're talking about. Okay.
And you know, I guess we can still count Gruden, but maybe we can't if his team.
Let me tell you something. Tyler and I were talking about this before you and I began our conversation today. Mike, I've thought about this, and we'll just stay with Gruden for 1 second because it plays into what you're talking about. The only time I can ever remember in pro football history that this worked, meaning a guy stayed out of it this long and came back and was successful, was Dick Vermeil. I can't remember another. This never works.
Well, it never works. It worked one time. And, you know, it's interesting, and I have run into, and I'm sure you have as well, you know, talk to Cowher about this and Dungy about this, and your dear friend Anthony Kornheiser would always say, oh, those guys are going to come back. And he still thinks, I'm like, Tony, they're not coming back. This is not the NFL we grew up with.
You and I will coach a team before Bill Cowher does.
Not even. Cowher even told me, and Dungy has too, they have said the words, I love my life. They've said that in just you know, walking into each other in airport conversations or, you know, running into each other at some dinner. And I'm like, you seem like I love my life. No. And they're not. And so Gruden, who did say pretty much similar, if not identical things, he did this, and now we're going to see if there's another Vermeil. But Vermeil's the only one. I mean, Hallis did it differently. He came back every 10 years, and he coached 10-year increments. But that's a different time and place, and he owned the team. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. But to your original point, who's appointment viewing? Wow. I mean, there's just not – I mean, Russell Wilson was in an ensemble. It's clear from Monday night.
But never been that guy. He's never been that guy. Now, here's who I thought was going to be that guy and still could become that guy, and I'll die on this hill. I hope he's completely healthy, is Deshaun Watson.
Okay?
Mike, going into that draft, especially because the Jets had a chance at him, I'll die on that hill, okay? And my whole point was you can't play two games like that against Nick Saban's defense and not be a total star at whatever level you're going to play. And he was in the MVP conversation last year until he got hurt. So I think he can be, but he's, you know, he's obviously very rusty so far this year.
Yeah, he's got to come through a lot. And believe me, my eye is always on him because I didn't think that my team needed to trade two more draft picks to move up, take a guy that nobody was looking at taking and who hasn't shown those flashes yet. But maybe he will. Maybe that's unfair to Trubisky, who's still also young. But appointment viewing, they don't have it. And I find myself for the first time, and the first time maybe in, I don't know, 20 years more, thinking about, okay, you know what? I want to see the beginning of the NBA season. Usually I want to see Christmas Day. That's even though
right,
I'm involved in the coverage up to my neck. Let's face it, emotionally, Christmas Day is the beginning of the NBA season. And there's no reason to join it until then. Now, I want to see the NBA season on opening night, which is, by the way, only in like 3.5 weeks. And I want to see the repositioning. I want to see what's going to happen with LeBron, obviously. I want to see what's going to happen with some of these young stars who I think the two draft classes back-to-back are really going to reshape the league and provide us the next level of stars. So I'm anxious about that, and I think part of that is there's no such appointment viewing with the NFL. I'll watch it. I'll sit there the whole day because it's ritualistic, and that's what I do. But I can't sit here and make the case that it's thrilling me in the same way it would have 10, 15, 20, 40 years ago.
We're talking to Michael Wilbon on the Mike Lupica podcast. More with Michael after this from Peter Manning Clothing. If you're tired of wearing baggy, oversized clothes, never finding your size, or having to take everything to the tailor, then I beseech you to check out Peter Manning NYC. Peter Manning has developed a fresh line of apparel specifically designed for us not-so-tall guys. Pants shouldn't bunch up at your ankles, shirts shouldn't hang down to your knees, and jackets shouldn't wear like a tent. You'll feel good and look great wearing proper-fitting clothes. They guarantee it. It's changed thousands of lives, and it'll change yours, too. No more baggy pants, no more pirate arms, and no more tailor tacks. Visit them online at www.petermanningnyc.com. Be sure to use the promo code LUPICA for 20% 10% off your order, or check them out in Manhattan as I did at 933 Broadway and discover a great fit. I've gone there. My son has gone there. We love it. This is an honest and heartfelt recommendation. www.petermanningnyc.com. Be sure to use code LUPICA for 20% off your order. Talking to Mike Wilbon on the Gillette Hotline, and I just to stay on LeBron for 1 second, I think they're going to be really good this year. And I don't think they're going to win a championship this year, but I believe he will win a championship in Los Angeles.
I do too. And by the way, I don't think they're going to be nearly – I know basketball writers that I really respect who say to me, look, the Lakers have as much chance to not make the playoffs as they do to – went around, and I'm like, that's insane.
No, it's insane.
That's insane. If I see a roster and it's got LeBron James on it, and it's got Rajon Rondo on it, and it's got Kuzma and Ingram, two young players who are going to get instantly better the moment they step on the court with LeBron James. I know it's a wacky roster right now. You can get rid of some of those people if you need to, the Beasleys and the Kiss Blower, Lance Stevenson. You can get rid of those people. I want to see the Lakers now because I think by the time the playoffs come, they'll have something.
My youngest son just moved to Los Angeles, and he's a huge LeBron fan, so he's extremely excited about seeing him, and he knows a lot about basketball, and he said, Dad, these people who are selling him short, first of all, Michael, you just touched on it. And I have said this for years, you could put him on any bad team, the Sixers when they were bad, the Sacramento Kings, pick a bad team, okay? They make the playoffs if he's in the gym.
Absolutely.
I honestly believe that.
Me too. Me too. And I just think, Mike, that the as long as the NBA season is, the themes and the people, and the talk about appointment viewing, I think it's going to be worth following, literally the day by day. And I know we live in a culture now, particularly in sports, where people have to have grand pronouncements after 3 days, and they're all just so stupid. But I'm looking forward to following out. Like, I want to see Toronto. Like, how good is Toronto going to be with Kawhi Leonard? Is he the Kawhi Leonard that we knew who was beating the Warriors by 24 points in the first half the last time we saw him? Is he that guy, or is he something else? And so I'm interested to see, you know, where Kawhi Leonard and Toronto are. I'm interested to see what happens with this meeting with Jimmy Butler and the T-Wolves, and are he and Kyrie serious about going to the Knicks? Which is going to turn into, obviously, a much bigger story because it's the Knicks.
I want to see the Celtics.
Absolutely.
All right, Michael, you follow this sport more closely. I broke in covering this sport, but you follow it way more closely than I do. I don't think it is crazy to think that Dwight Howard, I know what people think about him, I think he's a great addition to the Wizards.
I
think
too.
He's a great addition to the Wizards.
Michael, so yesterday we have a bunch of young, again, this goes back to, we have some 20-somethings who are working on the crew and working in our offices, and while they may follow the NFL, they're NBA fanatics. I mean, it looks like the UN. These people are from everywhere, of every ethnicity and race. They're NBA fanatics. And so yesterday after the PTI taping, we're talking about this is the very thing, because somebody said, well, where do you have the Wizards? And I said, you know what? It wouldn't shock me, and I am not a Dwight Howard fan, but in this context with this team, a guy who can still get 12.5 rebounds a game, it would not shock me if the Wizards were a top 4 team in the East. If Beal and Wall are healthy and can get along, I know it's a lot of ifs, but every NBA team has a lot of ifs. But with Howard, I mean, how many centers are left who can get you 14 and 12 in a game?
He's not as old as you think he is.
No,
he's 34 years old.
And he knows it's his last chance, Michael. He knows it's his last chance. I think that actually Wall and Beal, because they absorb all the attention, Dwight can just sort of slip out the back like he'd like to, but he couldn't do that in L.A., and he couldn't do it in Houston, and then he was in his hometown, which was a disaster, in Atlanta. I am just not a fan of Dwight Howard net result. But I think the Wizards, that's another team, and that's easy for me to follow. I can walk across the street and see them. So they're another one of those teams that you go, okay, and I believe the Celtics win the whole thing. I think the Celtics can beat the Warriors this year, because I want to see what happens with the Warriors by the time we get to April, and everybody's talking about whether Durant and Klay Thompson are even going to be there next year. That stuff takes a toll on a team, even if the three-time champion. So I think there's so many fun things, I think, to follow that I'm sitting here now looking at October 16 going, yeah, I'm good with that. And I never would have. I just don't. That's not my trajectory usually.
I am talking to my friend Michael Wilbon on the Mike Lupica podcast. He's on the Gillette hotline. I said I was an Aaron Rodgers fanboy. I am. I am a LeBron James fanboy. These are people who still keep me engaged in sports, but I am a total screaming, like One Direction type fanboy with Brad Stevens. Michael, I honestly believe that we always have this conversation, okay? If we brought all the greatest players of all time into the gym, all right, let's start picking up sides. That's a really fun discussion. Right now in basketball, if you brought all the coaches, anybody you want to mention, okay, Pop, Steve Kerr, all of them, I would draft Brad Stevens first.
Would you?
Yep.
Listen, he's not going any lower than fourth because you just mentioned the NBA.
I'm talking right now. I'm not talking about resume. I'm talking would pick to coach your team. Would pick Brad Stevens to coach my team.
Wow. I think I would in this day and age go with Kerr if I had a pick. But
I love Steve Kerr. But Stevens, I'm telling you, Michael, it wasn't the first Butler team that showed how great he was. The second Butler team that he took to the finals.
Right.
That's the greatest coaching job in the history of college basketball.
No, I think it was. And you know what I wonder though, Mike, and this is not even, I shouldn't say though, because it's gonna sound like it's a negative. I think losing in seven will help the Celtics this year, particularly in the regular season, because I don't think they're going to be complacent. They're going to remember the sting of that the way that the Pistons remember how the Celtics beat them, Bird and McHale, and the Bulls remember how Isaiah and Joe Dumars and the Bad Boys beat them. I think in that tradition, the Celtics will be like just uber motivated, and it'll work in favor of Brad Stevens. But I mean, stranger things have happened. I'm like you. He's a marvel. You know, from the time he came in, he was a marvel. What he did last year. I mean, basketball is the one sport where you can't lose two of your three best players. Or maybe with that team, when we started, they lost their two best players. You can't do it. You cannot survive that in that league. And he did.
And he did. And Mike, he was the classic example. One of the greatest coaching stories I ever heard. Bob Knight told me this story. And it's when he was coaching Army as a kid coach. And Mike Silliman, an Olympian, was his best player. And before the season started, Silliman goes down with a knee injury. And one of Knight's mentors was Claire B., who wrote the kind of kids' books about Chip Hilton that made me want to write them someday, okay? And a legendary coach in his own right. And he called B. and he said, "We lost Silliman for the season. What do I do?" And B. said, "Who's Silliman?" Meaning, you don't coach that team anymore. So why are we even talking about it? And that is the way Brad Stevens, it was never, woe is me. It's never, we lost Gordon and we lost Guy. No. And then he reimagines the team as one of the best defensive teams in the, it would be such a great thing this year. And nothing against the Warriors. Nothing against the Warriors if the Celtics win the NBA championship.
I agree with you. And I think that to sort of re-engage and bring new people aboard with the Celtics team, and I think a large part of it, we got to give Danny Ainge the credit here. I mean, Danny Ainge, he looks at this, and I know there is, every organization has an amount of analytics that it is tied to. But Danny Ainge does old-fashioned scouting. I mean, Mike, the number of times I've seen Danny sneaking out of a arena on the road in the middle of the winter when nobody knows he's there. It's like it was Red Auerbach doing it, you know? And there's still an old-fashioned component to just scouting. What do you see? What do you interpret? What do you assess? Is that guy smarter than the guy who has all the numbers? The guy that we're going to pick? I mean, the Jaylen Brown pick, I remember the night I was on the ESPN draft set in Brooklyn, when they took Jaylen Brown, there were people who were muttering, and, oh, they took him too high. No, they didn't take him too high. Anybody who talks to Jaylen Brown or listens to Jaylen Brown or observes him understands the intellect that allows him to just sort of be a better player than people projected. And Ainge doesn't miss that. He doesn't. If he does miss it, he misses it in a way that he covers it up because he made another great selection. And I think the combination of having that and Brad Stevens coach them, you know, it makes me a fan of it. I mean, I think they can win the whole thing this year. I really do. And if now is no slight, I just said I would probably take Steve Kerr, and I love them, and they are good people. Who I can't believe the debate when people say, are the Warriors bad for the sport? Shut up. What
Shut
sport
up.
Are you watching if you think the Warriors are bad for it? And so, but I think the Celtics could be great for that, and I want to see all of those things we just touched on. I think are all that's all kind of appointment viewing, at least for me.
Mike Wilbon is our guest on the Mike Lupica podcast. More with Mike after I tell you about Lightstream. Have you ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate? Did you know you could actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Fun fact, Lightstream plants a tree with every loan they fund. My listeners will get a special discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/lupica. That's lightstream.com/lupica. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50 auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/lupica for more information. Mike, you're so right about Danny. One of my favorite people in sports, and I know you know him, and I'm telling you, whatever list I make of the best people I've ever met in this business, Ernie, of course, he's one. But I'll ask him about like the quarterback draft last year, and he said, I don't know. I haven't scouted him. Me, and that's the Ainge thinking, okay? The reason he was so sure about Eli is he stalked him for 2 years, okay? And Danny is that way. Mike, he knew about Jason Tatum. There was never a doubt in my mind what there's never a doubt in his mind what Tatum was supposed to be. And by the way, and I think Woj is the first one to raise this. If I think he said this the other day. If they don't put Danny Ainge in the Hall of Fame soon, they ought to turn the place into a warehouse.
Well, Danny Ainge has to go. There's not even... there's no debate. There's no discussion to be had in our room.
All right, let's go to a couple of recent events, and you pick which one you want to go first, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about either one of them. Urban, and they're wildly different. Urban Meyer and Serena.
Oh, wow. Let's go Urban Meyer first. It's less complex. I mean, Urban Meyer, I mean, just the fraudulence of him... And his apologies and his statements. I mean, the first one, it was, Michael, I thought, and I was on vacation, and I went into a clubhouse or something to turn the television on and to change the channel to get it on that. And I thought that he was like me. He had just walked off the 18th green, and somebody handed him a statement, and he was annoyed, and he read it. That's how I came off. And I was like, are you kidding? Have you not been paying attention, even in your own conference to Penn State and Michigan State, and maybe this is less slightly urgent or embarrassing than those two situations, which are catastrophic, but you still aren't paying attention. You have so little regard for what you do and the culture and the times in which we live that you can't be bothered. It was just... I mean, if I was the president of that university, and then I would have been fired, I'd have fired him that day. If you're so arrogant and fraudulent that you walk in here and you can't even be bothered, get out. But, of course, they would have told him to get out because that's the way that school, the Ohio State University, operates. So that was just that the Urban Meyer situation, I just can't. And the fact that he's going to be on the sideline this week, and he comes out with
thank
apologies.
God that they were able to survive the painful experience of Urban missing the first three games
and
being able to coach during the week. And you know he was coaching during the
whole
game.
Time. The whole
Mike,
time, you know he was.
Michael, here's the thing, okay? And we talked about this on the Sports Reporters podcast, and I'll talk about it briefly with you, okay? This whole thing has been a festival of bullshit from the start, okay? That his wife didn't tell him. Oh, please, stop it. And the thing that makes me the craziest, okay? Not the lie he told on Media Day, because so many coaches lie to stay in practice. I'm used to that by now, okay? But for the most powerful man in the school, when he's caught like this, to fall back on two things, I didn't know or I can't remember. Stop it. Stop it. And this thing, I don't recall. It sounded like the whole Pettit and Roger Clemens thing. Oh, Andy misremembered. No, you don't misremember stuff like that. Right. You don't.
No, you don't. You don't. And the school ought to be embarrassed, and I feel like the NFL saying, no, he hit him in the air and he smashed him and the penalty is right, the right call. They're not embarrassed. They're not embarrassed. Ohio State, how embarrassed? I don't mean specific students and faculty and staff aren't embarrassed, but institutionally at the top, are they embarrassed about this coach and just having him this week? No, they're not.
Michael, my great former sports editor, the best I ever had at the Daily News, Terry Thompson, former columnist, she's great, okay? She talks about this all the time in sports, and this is just the latest example. And I give you this phrase because it describes so much of what we see when the clowns start piling out of the car at the circus, okay? Unintended self-parody. His defense, his lack of accountability, Ohio State's lack of accountability, the idea that anybody thought this was a real punishment for the lie he told about Zach Smith, that's unintended self-parody.
It is. There's no question. That's a great phrase, by the way.
It's
It is that. And you almost wonder, okay, what's next? Who's next? Like, Michael, to me, the saddest part of this is, other than just the action that went on, we're not done.
Oh,
we're going to
no.
see something this stupid before the season's over.
Oh no!
This egregiously just wrong, and where it happens will depend on that will determine the reaction from the top, from the president, from the chancellor, from whatever it is, depending if it's a private school, the president, and I you can never be numb to it. But why do I feel like we're not done with this kind of thing this year?
We're talking to Mike Wilbon on the Mike Lupica podcast. More with Mr. Wilbon after this from Untuck It. Hey, guys, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You may think it makes you look casual, but more than likely, it just ends up looking sloppy. That's why Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untucked shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. And not only do they look good, they feel great. Trust me, I know. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use promo code Lupica for 20% savings for first-time customers. That's promo code Lupica for first-time customers to receive 20% off. You can also visit one of Untuckit's over 25 retail locations across the country. Talking to Michael Wilbon on the Gillette Hotline. Okay, on the subject of Serena, and you know, it's so funny when you have this conversation. And I said on Morning Joe last week, I said, you can go broke being a white dude talking about this, okay? But I waited in anyway because, you know, waiting, it got me out of New Hampshire. Okay, so, Michael, even at Wimbledon this year, and I can't tell you how many times I've written this column over the last 20 years, nothing like Serena and Venus will ever happen again in American sports.
No,
nothing, nothing,
no.
nothing. The only possible comparable of a thing that we'll never see again is two brothers being MVPs, two quarterback brothers being MVPs of back-to-back Super Bowls, okay? That will never happen again either. But then you put it up against whatever it is, 30 major singles titles. I forget the number of doubles titles they've won, okay? The journey from Compton, California to where both of them are now, and the two of them becoming the faces of American tennis and a white sport, it is not just a great sports story, it's an American story, okay? And I have celebrated it again and again and again. So that's the overture to me telling you this idea that she got picked on because she was a woman is baloney. And she was the one who was out of line that day and not the umpire. What say you?
I agree with all of what you said, and I don't believe she got picked on because she's a woman. The guy's working a match with women. Now, that Tony's convinced that will not happen again in a finals.
That's a shame, because, Michael, ask Anthony Irwin Kornheiser, how come it wasn't a big issue when Serena has abused that
the blind lineswoman
that year, and when she abused the chair umpire, she abused the chair umpire 2 years later just to prove that she hadn't lost. And by the way, both of which are matches that she lost.
That's right. She lost that final.
How come gender wasn't an issue that
night? Well, I don't think it is a legitimate issue in this case. But what I do think, I think the one place we may differ is this, Michael. I don't want to see, you know, what do we always learn about? And NBA refs would admit this. The best night they can have is not being noticed. They just
it's Ryan's there, Mike.
Tell us that, and you know, Ben and Salvatore would tell us that. And those guys, she didn't curse him. Thief, in the context of you stole a point from me, is, you know, it was up to the edge, but it wasn't reason to call the game penalty to me. His ego got involved. I don't want to see him or his ego. I want to see Serena Williams play this young woman who may beat her, because Serena may not be able to hold that service game anyway, but I want to see that. His ego got in the way, and I thought to penalize her to that degree was preposterous. The place where gender does come in is that we have heard guys say so much worse and not penalized.
I agree with Martina, though, Michael. I'm not even sure it's something you want as a woman. You want to bring into discussion. Well, let me behave badly because guys behave worse. No,
Martina made a great point with that. She did. But to me, the onus of being the chair in that match is on the umpire to just not get involved if you don't have to, and he didn't have to. You know the point is coming, the warning and the point for the smashing of the racket. That's not even open to interpretation. That had to be called. But beyond that, Thief, let it go.
This would have been a good day. If ever there was going to be a day when I finally got to co-host, pardon the interruption, this would have been a good day. And I'll tell you why, okay? Here's the example I used, and you know I'm right about this, okay? She has to know she's in quicksand after she breaks a racket. I'm not even sure she fully appreciated how much peril she was in, okay? And by the way, the bigger context here is she was getting her butt kicked, and whether she lost that game or not, she was going to lose in straight sets, okay? She wasn't going to come back. No, she's going to come back. No, the other woman was way better.
Okay, so
Draymond Green against the Cavaliers, okay?
Right.
He knew that he was basically told, because of the rules, if you do one more thing, you are going to get suspended. And you know what Draymond did?
He did it anyway.
Whether she cursed him or not, Michael, she was in peril, and she called the guy a liar and a thief. And you know what? That's what happened next was as inevitable as the tide.
I didn't think it had to be. Okay, let's go to the point you just made about Draymond, which is a great point, and I agree with you completely. There was no such warning. It wasn't the same chair umpire who warned Kyrgios, who went way too far, in like a counseling session on the court during the Open.
No,
and Kyrgios could be thrown out of every single match and tournament he ever plays because of his behavior.
But he's gone after male guys. He went after Nadal on a tie violation. He's gone after Djokovic. He has gone after men.
Here's the thing. The warning that Draymond Green got, Serena never got, he could have called her over and said into the microphone so we could all hear, Miss Williams, if you do that again, but he didn't do that. He didn't.
But, Mike, I will guarantee you something, okay? I had this discussion with Taylor. I had it with my pal Harlan Coben. I've had it with a lot of people. And if he had attempted, you know, he should have given her a soft warning. She didn't want to hear from him at that point. I'm telling you, all that would have done is inflamed her even more.
Then it's on her. But I would have given her that warning. I would have called her over and given her that warning and said, listen, this is the U.S. Open Finals. One more step. We see this in the World Series with or the NBA Finals. We see this, and Draymond's the perfect example. He didn't want to hear it, and he ran through that red light anyway, and he got bounced, and it cost him a championship. And Draymond Green is one of my favorite players in the league. He really is one of my favorite people in the league. But he got that warning, and it could be a hard warning. I thought that was what was merited at that point. Give her that warning. Don't interfere in this match unless you have to, unless she makes you. And I thought that was the one thing that was missing. But, and the other thing is, I don't want to hear about coaching. They all coach. Who's the kid team? Michael, team can't make a service motion without looking to his box. It's but unbelievable.
You're have
it's
these,
like, I know you're 20 years old.
Then change the rule. Then change the rule. Because if you know anything about this umpire, you know he's a stickler for the rules. And the guy was coaching, okay? And that was the other thing.
But as he said, they all coach. And team was unbelievable. I said to Cheryl, who's a U.S. Open fanatic, and usually goes but didn't this year, I said to her at one point, look at team. He cannot open his eyes without looking at his box for instruction. My God. He was never warned. Every point he played was coached. He was never warned. So why did this come up in the women's final?
It should have come up in the semis because Mortigal was coaching the crap out of her in the semis, telling her to get into the net. All right, Michael, let me ask you a question. I had Chris Evert on last week, and she was great on this subject, and you're great on this subject, okay? Roger Federer and Serena Williams have a combined total of 43 major championships.
That's a wow.
Okay? Roger Federer turned 37 in August. I believe this is the week when Serena turns 37. I forget what her actual birth. It's the end of September. Okay. Will that number ever reach 44?
I think that Serena has got more a chance because we see what happens to some of the young women. Sloane Stephens, not as motivated as you would think after winning a U.S. Open a year ago. I mean, she went the next few months, and it was like Allen Iverson. It was like practice. Like, you know, what do I need that for? And it sort of shows. I think Serena's got a chance, more than a chance. She's still there. Roger, what surfaces do we have coming up? We have the hard courts in Australia.
Right.
And then he won't play
the French grass at Wimbledon. Yeah.
Going to skip that. You know what? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say each one of them's got at least one more.
Oh, good. No, for tennis, it would be great. I took Zach Lupica with me.
What did Chris say?
We went to the first week of Wimbledon this year, Mike, and we went 3 days, and Zach is not a big women's tennis fan. He was so excited to see Serena play again. It's a great event. All right. Before we go today, let's talk about your man, Tiger Woods, okay, who has had an extremely successful season, all things considered, except I think he gagged away two major championships.
Right.
Will he win another major championship?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I don't think so. I just think it's, you know, we had Nick Faldo on recently, and he talked about the four things that go into winning, professional golf now. And one of them, he said, is one of them that you can't control is the field. How good is the field?
Yep.
And what happened was, if Tiger is still playing all the time from 2009 through 2014, then they wouldn't have gotten away from him. He would have maintained contact with the best in the field. And now he lost contact. Now he's trying to reestablish it. And the big part is he wants to play a certain way. Tiger wants to, which he talked about with the weightlifting and getting jacked again this winter, he wants to play the way he used to play. And I don't think he can win that way. I don't think anybody at 42 can win that way. Phil can't win that way approaching 49. I just don't see it. I don't know if he can win at all. I think he can be right there all the time, but in any given week now on tour, and Faldo essentially said this, the players, they're just more good players now, more great players.
There's always two young guys who are going to be better than him. And Michael, we're watching I'm watching the final round of the PGA, and you know how much I love golf. I played it my whole life, okay? And I even played it with Tony Kornheiser and survived that. Okay. And now I understand he's a lot better now, but still.
He is.
Okay.
The sandbagger now, which is really disgusting.
And I turned to Zach on the 17th tee and I said, four in the gallery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just knew.
Yeah.
I just knew it was coming. And the other thing, Michael, he went 10 years and he made everything he looks at. He has an unreliable putter. And you know
why?
Because he's about to turn 43. That's why.
It's week to week. I always ask guys about this. And so many times I've gotten the answer. People talk about the first thing to go, you know, in when an athlete in other sports is approaching 40. And this one is when you get to your early 40s. And the answer, concentration, is the first thing to go. That, to me, always makes the most sense.
Now, your nerves go, Mike. Mike, I'm telling you, your nerves go. I started playing when I was 9, okay? I drive the ball better now and more accurately than I ever did. I'm a better iron player. But I'm telling you, your nerves go.
So you agree with those guys who say that. And if that's the case, and we both believe it is, then I don't think you can get that back. I mean, you may be able to maintain it for a week like Nicklaus did in Augusta when he was 46 years old, or Tom Watson did through 71 holes at the British Open, whenever that was. I guess that's close to 10 years now. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping that Tiger discovers something this summer that allows him to start the season with a level of concentration and nerves is closer to what we got used to seeing in his championship years at the height of his prowess. But I hope I'm wrong, because I want to see it. It's just so, when people, you know, a few years ago started saying, this Spieth kid, he can be, stop.
No.
No, they can, no one is going to talk about
no
something
one's gonna
that's
do
not going to happen in our lifetimes. I doubt that's going to happen. And now the muscle boys, everybody thinks that they're great to watch. They are great. You know, Koepka and DJ, I love watching them, and it's a different face that golf has because of them. But it doesn't mean that the both of them can replace Tiger, much less one of them.
Mike.
And so I want to see him do this. I want to see him just have one more half season of glory, because it's so thrilling to watch, as you know.
I just think, my joke always is that if Tiger's on the golf course and you go to the ESPN golf homepage, he'll be leading it, okay? It just doesn't matter where he is on the leaderboard. You have to, I always tell people, something one of my boys told me this once. He said, Dad, the good old days are now, okay? And he's right, all right? They don't even want to hear about Michael and Kobe. They want to watch who's playing now. And Federer, Nadal, that's 37. Djokovic is 14. That's 51 major. Nothing like that. Nothing even remotely like this is going to. I talked to Connors about it the other day, and I said, you guys didn't look at majors that way. He said, when I was playing, every tournament was a big tournament because we were trying to get three lines in the sports section. I said, how many times did you play? This is great, Michael. You should have him on for 5 good minutes someday because he's great.
I'd love that. Connors is awesome.
No. You know how many times he played the Australian Open in his career?
How many?
Twice.
No.
Yeah.
I thought Billie Jean, once she started playing the Open and she was the first American to actually play it routinely, I thought that ended. I did not know that Connors only, that's a stunner to me.
I think Chris and Martina each missed it 12 times in their primes. No, they just didn't look. Now, Chris and Martina won 18 a piece, which is a great number.
Did Jimmy win 8?
Jimmy won 8, McEnroe won 7. Yeah. Okay.
We were talking about this yesterday. Those guys who we consider the all-timers, they won 8 and 7.
I wrote this column again at Wimbledon this year. Okay, now the number's 51. I forget what it was going into Wimbledon. 51 for those three guys, okay? Do you know how many Jimmy, John, and Borg won combined? 26.
So 8 and 7 and, okay, so.
And wow. 11.
8, 7, and 11. And Borg. What and those that was two of them really six Wimbledons and what six French Open
five Wimbledons six
five
French.
And five and six right he only won two he didn't even win the Australian or the U.S. Open
they just didn't look and Serena but basically all she does is play the majors so I'm saying is those four players that we're talking about and I end up talking about tennis because I love tennis and it's how I broke in okay so think about that four players
wow
Serena and those three dudes have won 74 major championships.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like Tiger. It's not, nobody's going to win 10 again. It's just not going to happen.
No, I mean, you look at Spieth and Rory right now, and you're like, okay, like, are those guys going to combine for four more majors? Maybe.
Koepka might. Don't go to sleep on Koepka. Koepka, if he stays healthy, he's as somebody said, he's part man, part machine. Okay, and
well,
watching him,
they've given us a new direction. They've given us a different look at it, a different spin on it. But winning majors, like, it's inevitable that there's going to be two or three people just jump up in the next 2 years that we're not even aware of right now. Sometimes I look at this kid Fitzpatrick in Great Britain, who is a Northwestern kid, and he's on the Ryder Cup team, and he's still pretty young. And it's like, okay, what, is he going to be a threat next year for in the majors? And maybe he will. But you're right about those. That's a great saying from your son about the good old days are now.
Good old days are now.
Certainly in golf and tennis, it appears to be that way. And you know what? I mean, going back to what we talked about, the NBA. This could be, if people stay healthy, and God knows they didn't last year, but if the stars are healthy and playing through 75% of the regular season, and they all are ready to tee it up April 15, that's going to be, you know, that could create an all-time scenario for the NBA.
Talking with the great Mike Wilbon on the Mike Lupica podcast. More with Mike in a minute, but first a word from Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Just switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about a homeowner's or renter's insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. All right, here's my last question of the day. I kept Michael Wilbon longer than I said I was going to today, okay? And it just popped into my head as you were saying that. Will Kevin Durant finish his career with the Golden State Warriors?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. Although, did you read the piece in Wired last season about Durant and his investment approach and philosophy and his attraction to Silicon Valley and the whole tech corridor and how involved he and his advisors are in that? It's a fascinating piece, Mike, and he's not going to get that anywhere else. But of course, the modern person, athlete, can maintain those ties even if he's playing X number of months for another team. But Durant was drawn by all that Northern California has to offer as much as the Warriors. The piece in Wired is – and I told him – later in the year, I said, I had no idea in the playoffs that this meant as much to you as it does. And he was, you know, he elaborated about what it means to him in Northern California and how it's become home to him in an emotional way and an attached way that he perhaps didn't anticipate. And so maybe that keeps him there. Maybe that just keeps him. Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm a Northern California fanatic. I love being there. I can understand how any young.
Oh, my sister. No, my sister. Oh, my sister's lived there for. Oh, no. It's great.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just. So maybe that will keep him. But I mean, if you're the Lakers, and to me, it's not Kawhi Leonard that you've targeted first and foremost, even though you'd have him. Why isn't it Klay Thompson?
Right.
Klay Thompson doesn't even need the ball, but before it touches his fingers, it's through for three. And not to mention what a great teammate. Doesn't complain. He went from being the number two guy to the number four guy. Doesn't matter. Why wouldn't, if you're the Lakers, whose father is doing the broadcast, maybe that
right.
is, you know, whose dear friend is the president of the operation, you know, I mean, why wouldn't you go after Klay Thompson? So maybe they go after him or Durant, but it seems to me that one of them will be in you know, the purple and gold next year.
Are you doing Pardon the Interruption today?
Yes, I am.
Didn't I get you all talked out?
Well, Tony's going to make me angry, though. This stimulated me and made me think. Tony's just going to have me foaming at the mouth in about an hour and a half as we sit down. And, you know, he's got his yellow legal pad, like you would see him in the press boxes when you guys were sitting together. Got his yellow legal pad.
Oh, with that insanely neat handwriting.
Yes,
oh,
it's not changed. Not changed, Michael.
Ask him who is the fastest on deadline today. Ask him
that. See, you want me to start a fight with him instead of just take one on and counterpunch. By the way, did Triple G win the fight?
I don't know.
Did you didn't stay up for that?
No.
You weren't up until 2 a.m.? Come on.
What is wrong? Who do you think you're talking to? You think you're talking to, like, Frank Lupica or Bob Lupica? Who do you think you're talking to?
I watched it. I was crazy. It's one of the 20 greatest fights I've ever seen.
All right.
I knew you have to get, as big a fight fan as you are, you got to get a hold of that tape, whatever they call it now, video. You have to watch that fight. In its entirety, just sit down in a dark room, don't answer the phone, and watch that fight. I guarantee you're going to love it.
I was in the dressing room in Atlantic City with our late dear friend Dick Schaap when Tyson actually said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. I actually heard that.
Wow.
What
fight was that before?
Oh, no. This is going to be the longest podcast in history. It was Terrell Biggs, okay?
Okay.
And we're sitting with Tyson in his little dressing room like the Wednesday before the fight.
Oh, before,
and there was a couple of British boxing writers who had just been with Biggs and his people. And one of them says, you know, Mike, we were just talking to Terrell, and he seems to have a pretty good plan for you come Saturday night. And Tyson just didn't blink. He just looked at me and said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit.
One of the great lines.
And then, you know, it's one of those fights where Tyson was still scaring people out of the ring in those days.
Yeah,
he just run across the ring and hit him. They said, oh, I don't want to fight anymore.
The guy slept in his own corner.
Michael, thank you for doing this. As you know, not enough good things can happen to you in your career. And
with
Matthew and Cheryl see, we have to do this more often.
I think there's a handwritten note, by the way, coming your way. And let's hope young Matthew's penmanship is even recognizable.
Well, when we're done, you text me your address and I'll send him some signed books. Everybody, I talk to guys like Mike Wilbon because I'm lucky enough to be able to talk to them. This is the kind of conversation. We've done like 120 of these now. The numbers continue to grow. We got great sponsorship. Continue to download. Continue to subscribe. Go and leave comments. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.